This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, my mastery, it only took me 2 seggies.
You got it.
Number 71 in your program and now in your hearts was indeed Cale Emshoff. He's the fat 71.
And even though he's listed as 74.
Yeah, he was number 71 in the box score.
There's 271.
And the other 71 was Daniel Vasquez. So the fat one who got thrown out by the second baseman is Cale Emshoff. Yeah. The skinny one is 6'2", 150, Daniel Vasquez from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And then number 90, you say 92 or 94?
92.
92 is Tyler Tolbert.
Went 0-for-2.
Who is not going to play here.
I love spring training where it's like, I don't know. Just go. And by the way, all non-roster invitees, by the way.
Well, I looked at the Royals non-roster invitees list, and none, like, Emshoff isn't even on that.
He's not on it. And yet he's there.
So I don't know.
Oh,
is that how informal spring training is?
I think that's how informal. I think Emshoff was sitting in the bleachers. He might have been over by me having a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich, and they're like, hey, man, it's the seventh inning. We need someone. He's like, I got this. I got you. Give me a uni. I'm out there.
Now, Tolbert is on the non-roster invitees list, and he was actually a 13th-round pick of theirs.
He sucks, too.
In 2019.
Just so you know.
And then the other 71, we said Daniel Vasquez, also not on the list. So that I think they found 2 71s that day.
I love it.
To spite you.
Yeah. Hey, it created buzz. I needed something to watch in that game, and I gave you fat and skinny 71.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. Now we're looking for the Emshoff highlight. Or low light,
yeah, I searched him by name, and I'm not sure internet knew who he was,
no
and therefore,
one.
When you search his name, you don't find the highlight because no one knows him.
No one knows who he is. He came out of the stands.
I love baseball.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Are we ready for baseball?
When's
opening day? Anybody got that off the...
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Feels like it's... Let's see. 2020. I'm going to get that, and then we're going to get to the combine, damn it.
Yes.
March 27th.
There you go.
Thursday, March 27th.
Right around the corner, a couple weeks.
God, that's great.
Yeah, let's go.
So you say we have clarity on the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, it seems that without question now. And by the way, the unclarity might be at number two. Everyone, and look, I know a lot of the combine is just groupthink, but it's the only way to do it because it just takes one team to change. You know, like you can be like, everyone has a kid going as the fourth quarterback. But if one team thinks he's the second quarterback, that changes. But the unquestioned... narrative coming out of the combine is that Cam Ward has distanced himself by a mile.
Oh,
that Cam
over Shadur.
Shadur, I heard from multiple people that are there at the combine that do this, that are in tight, that swear that there are a number of teams, not two or three, double-digit teams that don't even have Shadur Sanders as the second-best quarterback, that the buzz is that some people have Shadur Sanders as the second quarterback and some people have Shadur Sanders as the fifth quarterback. So there's a huge gap between Cam Ward and Shadur Sanders. All of a sudden you're getting some Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, former Oregon, former Louisville, former Texas Tech quarterback. He apparently has entered into this mix. So Sanders, he didn't do anything at the combine, but he is not a physical specimen. And there's huge questions about him. And if you're taking a flyer on someone that is not a physical specimen, you need to be wowed. And I guess Sanders in the interview in the dry board didn't wow anybody. And so already teams had concerns, not only concerns about his on-field stuff, but he's a, I would say he's a guy that isn't going to be for everybody. You know what you're getting. You're getting a Cam Newton brand. And you know there's a lot of NFL teams that don't want Cam Newton brands if the guy doesn't bring Cam Newton ability. And when you watch Shedeur Sanders, he's a good processor. He throws the ball accurately. He's not a big guy. He's not a particularly fast guy. He has no pocket presence, but that's not really his fault. He doesn't play in a pocket because he doesn't have one. He's a running backwards quarterback, which for me is I hate it. If I'm looking at one thing I can't have my quarterback do, I can't have quarterbacks that bail backwards. No one bails backwards like Shedeur Sanders. But again, that may not be his fault because he has no pocket. But you can only go off of what you have in front of you. So it sounds like Cam Ward, without question, quarterback one. Shedeur Sanders right now, and he'll have his pro day and his chance to do whatever. But it sounds like Shedeur Sanders, there was this idea that Ward and Sanders 1-2, and it's not. It's Ward 1 and Sanders maybe 3 or 4.
That's funny because I read just a little bit ago, I read a story that said no clarity on Sanders versus Ward.
There's clarity.
And it also said that they are identical in size, but Ward has smaller hands and shorter arms.
If you listen to the people that actually do this, that are there on the ground and have been there and actually talk to the people, universally, they all came away saying Cam Ward was impressive. People like Cam Ward. And when you're at the combine, you can talk to scouts. And again, you can get a general feel for what's happening. And I haven't heard one person that I think has a real good ear to the ground there say that that there's any debate between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward.
Well, you kind of glossed over it there. But I think that article I read was from CBS Sports. Yeah. I don't know. This is why I take all combine analysis with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You glossed over Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
You know, Joey was there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Our friend Joey Harrington.
No.
Did you know that?
I was not aware.
Yeah, he was there, and he surprised us on his phone call on Friday.
What was he doing in Indy?
From the combine. Well, they called him and Chad Pennington,
mm-hmm.
and they have them as mentors to half of the quarterbacks at the combine. In other words, they're just around. They, you know, if the kids have questions, they can ask the old guy. And they just kind of mentor them.
Sure, that makes sense.
So Joey was the first half of the alphabet,
mm-hmm.
and Chad Pennington was the second half of the alphabet.
Okay.
So Joey did have Jackson Dart
mm-hmm.
in his group, and I asked about Jackson Dart because I'm like, Jackson Dart has seemingly always been really good, has the measurables, and no one ever talks about him.
No.
And he mentioned some of that could be because of the offense that they run at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Dart is going to need some time.
Yes, it is not an NFL offense.
But he loved him. He was impressed with Jackson Dart. Said he was very, he was just kind of himself. You know, the thing about, here, I'm going to read between the lines of Joey's segments mm-hmm. on Friday. And,
okay.
And Buck and I talked about this. So I asked him about all the quarterbacks, right? Or as many as I could.
Sure.
And, you know, Joey can't say bad things about any of the kids there, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can't do
no.
that.
And it's even tougher for him to say a lot of good things about one or two guys because it separates them from the rest.
Yeah.
So he has to hedge it a little bit.
So he, reading between the lines of what he said, you know, you can't really tell if a kid has it just by hanging with them,
mm-hmm.
but you can certainly tell who doesn't.
Sure.
And I thought that was a telling comment. And of course, I can't then say, well, no. who doesn't?
Yeah.
But he didn't say one word about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Not one. He mentioned a lot of different guys. He mentioned the Minnesota kid,
yeah.
whose name I can't remember. He mentioned Jackson Dart. We were talking about Dylan Gabriel. We were talking about Will Howard. We were talking about, who else? There were others. Never one word about Quinn Ewers, who was in his little
in his
group.
First half of the alphabet group.
Interesting.
In his little group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read into that Quinn Ewers is going to suck.
It's possible.
How about that?
I like
how about
where
that
you're
going. For a hot take?
Well, Shuck, I know, was a...
Yeah, he didn't have Shuck.
I think Shuck came away, from my understanding, Shuck came away with the one that has a lot of draft buzz moving up boards. McCord, I think, is another one. Kyle McCord, the Syracuse, Ohio State product.
He didn't have him either.
People were pretty high on. People were pretty down on Will Howard. And then Dylan Gabriel, I think.
Well, Will Howard went viral for sucking.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that.
He,
But his workout on, I think it was Saturday or
yeah.
Sunday.
Because that was, yeah, that him being terrible throwing the ball yeah. was after we had talked to Joey about
it. Yeah,
him
yeah.
Briefly.
It was over the weekend.
Balls on the ground.
Dude, he missed like, they did a highlight reel of him.
It was. bad, bad.
Or a low light reel of him. He looked like Cale Emshoff.
It's not good.
He missed like seven receivers.
It's not good. And then Gabriel, I think Gabriel has solidified himself of, he's a backup. No one's going to draft him with any thought of being a starter. But you're hearing that Gabriel may have the safest outside of Sanders and Ward, who are clearly, although Sanders now, maybe not. Of that second group of quarterbacks, and I would say even with Jackson Dart and McCord, a lot of people think that the highest floor is Dylan Gabriel, but it's also the lowest ceiling, if that makes sense. But for the highest floor, he will not suck. Like you, when you're drafting, you're just drafting.
But lowest ceiling. Okay, yeah.
You can count on him being the most competent of them, but he's not going to
Senior Bowl, was okay at the combine, not a big guy, not a great arm, but he processes well and he's done it enough. He is going, if you draft Dylan Gabriel, you are going to be drafting a very competent backup.
He'll be fine.
Well, and you want a backup who doesn't ruffle feathers and who's easygoing and who's a good team guy, and he has all of those things.
Perennial NFL backup, Dylan Gabriel.
Yes, I think you solidified, you think about where Tyrod Taylor, sort of, he'll be a backup in this league for 12 years. And so I think, people asking about him, he's not going to go in the first two rounds, but late third, fourth, I think Gabriel is a guy that has, he's open to eyes. He's a system guy, but maybe someone, the Denver Broncos, right? If you're looking for, although they may want more of a veteran quarterback, but someone who has a Sean Payton type coach that just wants a steady Eddie guy that, not going to ruffle feathers, that, if I have to come in and play him in three games, he's going to keep us competitive and he's not going to turn the ball over and I'm not going to have to reteach him how to play the position. So I think there's where, because some people ask, what about Dylan Gabriel? He's not in the conversation to be a riser or a faller. I think he just is where he is.
What if the Broncos get Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, and then add Marcus Mariota to the practice squad?
The all duck.
Why not?
Quarterback room. And I saw an interview with Sean Payton, and this, careful making any judgments out of the combine. Sean Payton said after the combine, he said Bo Nix did not look great at the combine. He said he didn't throw the ball particularly well, and they said that he was not their guy after the combine, that Bo Nix grew on them by watching tape and then interviewing him. And so, there's a lot. We got 2 months before the NFL draft. I mean, the narrative on some of these guys, take a Shedeur Sanders. That can certainly change because a lot of the top guys didn't even work out. We're seeing more and more guys that are first-round guys, especially at skill position, that are like, I'll see it my pro day. And maybe I'll run all that. Right. Or in some cases, may not run at all.
Well, there was another high-ceiling quarterback that they're talking about. Now, again, this is just from me reading, so I don't know. Maybe he's not this, but I want to talk about that when we get back. And what's with Tez Johnson? He did not have a good combine.
Depending on how you're measuring.
There's one thing that was really bad. It's the worst ever.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan. Somebody said on Good Morning Football, they compared Gabriel to Chase Daniels.
Yeah, I could see that. And Chase Daniels was one of the highest paid backups for a long time.
He's made like $40 million or something?
Yeah. And look, there's a place in that for a guy that doesn't rock the quarterback room, is a smart guy, helps out. And just, I'm not going to say he's like a stable pony, but look, no one's drafting Dylan Gabriel to play and be a big part of their team. But you are drafting him to, get splits and be a competent guy if you need to call on him and just be a help in a room. And I think he is going to have a lengthy career. Don't think as much is going to come out of it, but...
And it makes me sad.
I think Dylan Gabriel will be just fine, but he lacks the measurables to really be a guy that moves any needles.
Well, he's squeezing the most out of his talent.
Absolutely.
Or what, lack of.
Yeah.
And
it's not a great draft, but that should help him. Because in some drafts, he would get pushed much, much further back.
Well, that's very uninspiring, but I get it.
I mean, most people think this is a two-prospect draft as far as, game changers, and one being Abdul Carter, who now has a busted foot, and that's going to be interesting to see what his medicals say. And the other one is Travis Hunter, which I personally don't believe is a game changer, but those seem to be the two blue-chip prospects.
So the high-ceiling quarterback I read about that they were saying, Jalen Milroe.
Boy.
And I know you don't like him.
I don't at all.
They compare him to, actually, I was just reading up on him. Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about, and you know, he does have the, he's just athletic.
Yep.
And that, of course, gets everybody salivating.
I hate it.
But his accuracy isn't there.
Nope.
His processing speed isn't there.
Nope.
And they were comparing him on PFF. They were saying Malik Willis situation in Green Bay is the path for Milroe.
Sure. I mean, I think a better...
Which is also a very uninspiring.
Well, to me, it's just he's Anthony Richardson with more football. And I don't know. I think Milroe took a step back this year. I think under their new offense, and we've seen... why the hell can't I think of the Alabama, the former Washington coach's name? Kalen DeBoer. You would think under him that would have blossomed, and it didn't. In fact, the exact opposite. And I'll say this. I said it about Anthony Richardson. I'll say it about Jalen Milroe. I said it about Jake Locker. Now, to be fair, I thought this applied to Josh Allen, and that has been a real F you. Drafting a kid because he is big, fast, and looks great in his underwear, you can do that at most positions and make a case. I will never, ever understand why anyone does this for a quarterback. Because find me the last quarterback that was a poor performer that did not elevate his team at that position.
Christian Hackenberg.
That was a good athlete that ended up being a success. Because I'll sit here and wait. You can say that Cam Newton wasn't necessarily a great quarterback. Cam Newton was a hell of a lot better than either one of those two. And Cam Newton elevated. Cam Newton elevated a very average Auburn team to a national championship. And Cam Newton was a tank. He was a one of one. And I'm sorry, but Anthony Richardson, how has that worked out? And Josh Allen was a better football player than either one of these guys that we're talking about. He just was at Wyoming, and I think a lot of times was underwhelming because of the competition when he played against the better teams. And even that took Josh Allen 2.5 years to not be an absolute just chaotic mess back there. So anyone that drafts Jalen Milroe and thinks that is anything other than a long-term project, God bless you. Good luck.
Well, that's what they were saying. High ceiling.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, someone said Will Levis. There you go. There's another one. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I will never understand our fascination. You do when you look at the best quarterbacks in the league and the best quarterbacks to ever play, it's usually not the Adonis. Like, we fall in love with the high school quarterback, right? The All-American kid. 6'6", 235, you know, 5-sport athlete, you know, 19 different letters. Well, look at Mahomes and his feminine hips. Yeah, that worked out pretty good. The guy runs, you know, you watch him move around.
There might be some skin there.
And yet it works. Tom Brady works.
Was Mahomes getting all this love at the combine?
Mahomes was a sneaky riser to the point where maybe the media didn't catch on to him, but the Chiefs moved up to, was it 9 or 11 to draft him?
Yeah, I thought it was 12, but somewhere around there.
And it turns out that there were 6 or 7 other teams that were just crossing their fingers saying, please, please fall to us.
But the knock on him was he was a little bit erratic. He wasn't very
accurate. He played in a college system.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of what we're talking about with Jackson Dart. He didn't play in the NFL system and he was erratic. But now when you watch him play in Kansas City, that erratic ends up being kind of the best part of his game. And he was a guy that ended up being a much better NFL player than he was a college player, which again is another reason why the combine and tape is very hard, because like sometimes you watch players like Abdul Carter from Penn State. Like they say that guy is like the best player in the draft. And I'm telling you watch him play. He's good. You know, he's a nice player. That dude is not just this generational, oh my God, best college football player I've ever seen, but he's productive. And they say, hey, that is going to be much better at the next level. So even guys that get that label aren't necessarily the game wreckers. Like Aaron Donald, when you watched him in college, that dude, Aaron Donald might be the best college defensive lineman I've ever seen since Steve Ettman. And yet Aaron Donald wasn't a top 2 or 3 pick because people were like, he doesn't meet their measurables. It turned out he was pretty good. So, I mean, all of this is just educated guesses. And you got to take all this stuff from physical measurables to your makeup, how much you love the game, system you played in, what did they ask you to do in college. But that's the one position that I just will never understand why we fall in love with athletes at the quarterback position. Because while it's nice to have, you just don't have to be an elite all-world athlete to be good at that position. And we keep trying to force the round peg square hole thing. And you do that with Jalen Milroe, you do it at your own peril.
Isn't it square peg round hole?
Whatever.
I guess it could be either.
It could be either.
Most of the time
it would present
hole.
The same problem.
It doesn't fit.
That's right. Okay, well, let's put a pin in it. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of the Ducks and how they performed at the Combine. We'll have our primetime stock watch. And then we've on the docket, we've got a Debo Samuel segment coming up as well. This is Isaac and Zook on The Fan.